Welcome to Raider Rage here. I am DJ Smooth, and this is Raider Rage again. And we are going to get into what happened yesterday with the Raiders losing to the Arizona Cardinals 24-13. So we're going to get into that game, a little recap, my analysis on that game. Then for the next segment, we're going to go in, talk about rumors out there involving the Raiders, like trade talk, possibly them moving to Los Angeles. So that would be fun. And the last segment, we will talk about next week's game against the Cleveland Browns. But first, again, like always, we got to talk about the Raiders losing again. So the Raiders lost again yesterday, 24-13 to the Arizona Cardinals. It was a close game, closer than what the score projects. The Raiders, again, they couldn't pull through. They were they got down early 14-0 to the Arizona Cardinals. Got down early 14-0, but then Derek Carr did bring them back. They scored a touchdown. Darren McFadden ran it in. Then they got a field goal before halftime after Charles Woodson got the interception. So it was 14-10 at halftime, and things are looking good. Things are looking well. You know, we're playing good. You know, the Cardinals are supposedly one of the best teams in the NFL, and we're playing toe-to-toe with them again. It's just like the San Diego game before. And, you know, us as a Raider fan, you know, I'm thinking this is it. We're going to get our first win right here. We're going to actually pull this one off, and we're going to start turning things around. We're going to get a win, you know, just end this whole losing streak that we have. But the Raiders always shoot themselves in the foot. Always. Doesn't fail. Does not fail. They couldn't stop the running game. The Cardinals were running for forever. No rush defense at all from the Raiders. Nothing up front. They weren't, the defensive line was just allowing the offensive line make holes all day. There was nothing. The running back was just doing whatever he pleased. The Cardinals rushed for 123 yards. That's not, you know, that's not good. If you want to be a good team, you have to stop the run. Because if you can't stop the run, then the other team moves the chains and the time goes off the clock. And you don't get the ball for as long as you want it. And the Raiders got to learn that. That's why they brought in all these veteran players and rush stoppers. But obviously, when they get to Oakland, I guess they forget how to stop the run. They just forget it. They forget all about it. Just forget about it. And it's like, I don't understand why. Like, they did it with their old teams, but when they get here, all of a sudden, they just forgot. Just mind just totally disappeared. Like, they don't know how to play football and know how to stop the run. And it's sad. It's really sad and frustrating. Also, they couldn't stop the run, but also the Raiders' penalties were killing them. Penalties killed the Raiders yesterday. Killed them. They had 8 penalties for 74 yards. And that may not seem a lot. 8 penalties is a lot, but the types of situations like that the Raiders had the penalties just killed them. I remember third quarter, the Raiders. I think they kicked a field goal and was 14-13. The Raiders just, you know, scored a field goal. They had one of their best drives of the game. Then they're on defense. It's a third down for the Cardinals, and Carson Palmer throws an incomplete pass, but they call a pass interference on linebacker Miles Burris. It was a questionable call. Very questionable, you know. Very questionable. And, you know, that always happens to the Raiders, only and with the Raiders. It's, It's bad. I'm not trying to say there's no conspiracies out there against the Raiders, but that was a bad call, and the Raiders got a lot of them yesterday. But still, you can't put yourself in that situation. Miles Burris has got to know he can't make contact with the receiver after 5 yards. He did. He did make contact. It was a little ticky-tack contact. It wasn't contact that, changed the play or, the receiver still could have caught the ball. But the ref just thought, Miles Burris interfered with that. So he made the call. And the Raiders can't have that. And that always happens. And that's what happens. That's what an 0-6 team does, is make stupid penalties and beats themselves. And that's what the Raiders have been doing this year. They've been beating themselves for the games that they could have won. The 3 games that they could have won, the Raiders beat themselves. The other 3 games, the Raiders just got dismantled by the opponents. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore, because every week it's the same old thing. Either the Raiders don't show up and they get beat down by the team, or they beat themselves. And it's like, I'm done with it. I'm really just done with it. There's nothing, I don't know what else to say. That's the thing. I don't know what else to say. And, the Raiders didn't run the ball good yesterday. They only had 56 yards. McFadden led the team in rushing yards with 48 and a touchdown. Jones-Drew had 3 carries for 6 yards. Again, unproductive. That's unacceptable, because the Raiders, who do have, I'm going to say it, the Raiders do have the worst, they are the worst team in the NFL, because they're 0-6. They're the only winless team in the NFL, which doesn't surprise me by the way they've been playing. But if you have the least talented team, you can't have your players not produce, because then you're really not going to win. You need your players on your team to produce, because you don't have the talent to match up with other teams. And Jones-Drew getting 3 carries for 6 yards it's not good enough. That's not enough. Or McFadden, 14 carries, 48 yards. Or the offensive line. We brought in a lot of veterans. We drafted some rookies. We still have Wisniewski at center. He's a veteran pro. He's been with the Raiders for 3 years now. They need, they got to start stepping up. And, they did give Derek Carr time, but they made absolutely no holes for the running backs to run. None. McFadden maybe did get 1 or 2 carries that were good and long. And, and it looked, it was a good run. But other than that, it was just, it was bad. It was bad. It was, it's not like the Raiders got blown out, but still, I don't know. It's just, I really just don't know what to say anymore. I don't. Because we know I know what's going on. It's just, I'm saying the same thing every week. Every week, I'm saying the same thing. And they don't get it. They honestly don't get it. I don't think they get it. It makes me angry. I'm very frustrated right now, because it's been like this for the last decade. The last decade has been the same thing. It's either been penalties or dumb mistakes or not doing your job, not doing your assignment. It's like I'm talking to a bunch of elementary kids who did not do their homework, and it's every week they just do not do their homework. And that's what it looks like. Oh, and also one more thing. I said the show before that the Raiders had to, be good on third down and had to stop Arizona on third down. Well, that didn't happen, because the Cardinals were 9 for 15 on third down. That's not going to win you any games. You got to get off the field on third down. And on offense, you want to stay on the field because you want to convert a third down, and the Raiders were 4-for-12. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's Tony Sparano because he's doing the best he can. He's actually making the team competitive because they you know they haven't gotten blown out by 30 points. When Dennis Allen was here, it was just what was going to be the margin, what was going to be the deficit. But got to get off on third down. And Charles Woodson said it after the game. He said that third down is killing them on defense because they're out there so – because once the offense converts the third down, the defense is out there longer than they want to be. And then they get tired at the end of the game. And you saw that. The defense was exhausted at the end of the game. That's why they were getting those stops. It's just – I don't know. I really don't know what to say. That's just the thing. I just don't know what to say. I can say, oh, the Raiders need to do this and that, but they never do it. If I'm saying it, how about Tony Sparano saying it, the head coach? He might be saying it too. They just might not be doing it. And then I was listening to the Charles Woodson interview after the game. He says he really doesn't know how to make this team better. He doesn't know how to turn the Raiders around because he just doesn't know. No one knows. Maybe that's the thing. No one knows what to do. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's probably a bad thing. But at least I guess the only positive I can pull out from the game is that at least we're not getting blown out every week. At least it's competitive. It's bearable to watch. It's bearable to watch. But for the diehard fan like me, it's kind of not bearable to watch because I'm kind of getting tired of losing every Sunday. I don't like to feel bad on my Sunday. Sundays is, you know, I want to rest. You know, I got school and other things in my life. Sundays is supposed to be the day where I watch my Raiders, you know. I just relax. And my team wins and I feel good on a Sunday. But obviously, that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened yet. Because every Sunday, I watch the Raiders get angry, and then they lose, and then my whole demeanor is just down the whole day. And, you know, people know. My friends know this, too. They're like, oh, the Raiders lost, huh? And I was like, yep, you know it. Oh, God. One of my friends was complaining because the Chargers lost yesterday. And I was like, you know, things can be real worse. He can be 0-6 and be the worst team in the league. So I don't want to hear your little pity party because I don't want to hear you whining because you lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. At least your team's 5-2. I wish my team was 5-2. I wish I could be complaining about one of my two losses. But no, you know what I'm complaining about? 6 losses. 0-6. In the gutter. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a picture that went viral yesterday after the game of Darnell Dockett, one of the defensive linemen from the Arizona Cardinals. He was injured. He didn't play yesterday. But I guess he said that the Raider fans were, you know, saying some rude things about, you know, the players' moms and dads and, like, them. And they were throwing – the Raider fans were throwing stuff at the bench of the Cardinals. And at the end of the game, he wrote a sign that said, worst team in the NFL, 0-6. And he put a happy face in the 0. And he was pointing at the Raider fans. And that's what the league thinks about us. You know, I can say, you know, I can sit here and say that, oh, I'm angry at Darnell Dockett that he shouldn't have done that. That, oh, that was disrespectful. But maybe that's what the Raiders needed to see. Maybe they needed to know how the league actually feels about them. Maybe that's the thing that wakes them up. That, you know, it finally gets them going. Because now they know that what the league and other teams around the league think about them. They think about them as the worst team in the NFL. And they are. You know? I tried so hard from, you know, I tried really hard of not saying that these last couple of weeks. I was like, you know, it's early. You're going to get a victory. But, you know, I'm fed up. I'm done. And we're 0-6. And we're the worst team in the league. And something needs to start changing now. And they need to start pulling out some wins from somewhere because, honestly, these next games don't look easier. They don't look any much. They don't. We got to go to Cleveland next week. We got at Seattle after that. We got the Broncos after that one. So it's just Raider fans, be prepared. Just be prepared because, you know, Seattle at home is unbeatable. Cleveland's a lot better, even though they lost to Jacksonville yesterday. Cleveland's in Cleveland. It's going to be tough. And you saw what the Broncos did to the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. They're just a monster over there with Peyton Manning. So, you know, Derek Carr had a decent game. He had a decent game. 16 for 28, 173 yards. Didn't throw a touchdown. Didn't throw an interception. He's only sacked once. He's a bright spot. Him and Khalil Mack are the only two bright spots of this team. Khalil Mack's looking like a defensive rookie of the year candidate. Derek Carr's looking like a offensive rookie of the year candidate. And you could tell from Derek Carr that he's looking like the quarterback of the future. He's looking like he can handle his own. He just needs some talent around him. And that's what the Raiders need to do. Is, you know, put talent around Derek Carr. Get him some weapons. Get him a line that can protect him. And with that, hopefully, this losing streak and this dark cloud over Oakland will finally, you know, part and the light will shine down on O.co Coliseum and we finally get back to the playoffs. Hopefully. But when that does happen, we're stuck with what we have, and that's the worst team in the NFL. So we'll be back after this break, and when we get back, I will talk about the rumors about Oakland around the trade deadline, which is next Tuesday, if the Raiders are going to be possible players in that, and if they're going to move to Los Angeles. So we'll be back after this break. This is DJ Smoove, and you're listening to Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu. I cannot
just as if I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Ooh, 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 we called it off again last night.
Welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. This is Raider Rage with your host DJ Smooth. So now, previous segment we just talked about. It was a recap of the Oakland Raiders and St. Louis, and not St. Louis Cardinals, thinking about baseball, but the Arizona Cardinals and how the Arizona Cardinals beat the Oakland Raiders 24-13, talked about that. And now we're going to just head into rumors surrounding the Raiders, you know, about the trade deadline or them moving to Los Angeles. But first, let's get into the trade deadline. So I was reading a report, you know, as the fanatic that I am, you know, I got the Bleacher Report app, I got the Sports Center app, the Raider app, I got all the apps. So I was reading this report that now the trade deadline for the NFL is next Tuesday, October 28th, and they were just talking about who's gonna be potential teams that are gonna trade, and they were talking about some random teams, Tampa Bay, the Jets, Indianapolis, this and that. Then they all of a sudden they say the Oakland Raiders, and that caught my attention. I was like, whoa. So they're saying that the Raiders, rumors out there, they're saying that the Raiders are a potential team that's can be very interested in trading away some players. Yeah, they don't have a lot of talent, a lot of depth, but you know the Raiders can trade some veteran players away to get some picks, or to get younger, or just get rid of all these old people that we have. Examples: Justin Tuck, Maurice Jones-Drew, Lamar Woodley, Antonio Smith. I don't want to say Charles Woodson because honestly, he's probably the best player, old player that's been playing great this season. But yeah, so they were talking about, the Raiders can trade away these veteran players and, see what these young guys got for next year. Because it looks like right now that the Raiders are going to get the number one pick in the draft, in the 2015 draft. So yeah, they were talking about that, and I was just, really, I don't want to say surprised, but it caught me off guard. It really did. It caught me off guard. Because first of all, I was thinking Justin Tuck, who's injured, didn't play yesterday. And second of all, he hasn't even performed the way his contract says that he should perform. It's bad. It's really bad. So I was thinking, who's gonna take Justin Tuck? Injury prone Justin Tuck and that contract, or a Lamar Woodley, who I didn't even know he Lamar Woodley dressed up, but they showed him on the sideline yesterday and he was in his uniform and everything. I was like, wow, he actually suits up. His stats don't show that, but damn, he suits up. So yeah, him, Antonio Smith, they're saying Maurice Jones-Drew. It would honestly be smart if the Raiders can find a buyer to take these guys off the payroll and get younger and get multiple and get some draft picks, even though these draft picks might not be a third, fourth, but if a sixth or seventh, I'll take it, because the Raiders need to get young and they need all the help they can get. And supposedly the draft is where you build a core, and that's how you become better in this league, not free agency, but through the draft. And the Raiders need some of that. The Raiders can take some picks. That would be smart. It would be really smart for the Raiders. But they just got to find a buyer. They got to sell this junk to somebody. And, have someone say, we'll take a chance on this guy. We'll give you a 7th-round pick. Or we'll give you a 6th-round pick. Or this and that. And I'm intrigued, but I'm just thinking, who would take Justin Tuck, Maurice Jones-Drew, Lamar Woodley if these guys haven't even performed You know, they can find, yeah, teams that are going to be, you know, we can find guys on the street that plays better than these guys. Why trade some valuable draft picks for a piece of garbage? So it's going to be hard. And the report was also saying that, you know, don't expect anything because, you know, the NFL trade deadline, that's where the least trades happen. You know, the basketball deadline, there's always, in the NBA, there's always, like, massive trades made. Or in baseball, of course, there's always those big deals. In the NFL, the trade deadline is just there. No one really makes a deal. You know, last year, what's it called? The Colts made the deal with the Browns to get Trent Richardson. This year, Percy Harvin of the Seahawks got traded to the New York Jets. That's been the only trade made lately. So, yeah, there's not like a lot of trades made during the NFL trade deadline, but, you know, they always talk about it. And they're saying this is the first time I heard that, you know, that the Raiders might be big sellers, might be big players in the trade deadline, and might, you know, start you know, just collecting some picks for next year's draft. So next year we can have a whole bunch of load of picks, and maybe we can make trades during the draft to get other players and then move up and this and that. So it would be smart for the Raiders to get rid of these guys and to collect picks like that. Because, my God, the Raiders need all the help they can get. All the help they can get. It's like watching the Bad News Bears out there. It's horrible. Honestly, God, this might be the worst Raider team I've ever seen play. And trust me, I've seen some bad ones. This might be the worst of all time. Might be worse than the 2006 Raiders, where they had quarterbacks like Tui Asisopo, Andrew Walter starting. God, I bet you guys didn't even know who those people were. Those were actually Oakland Raider quarterbacks at one time. You may not believe me, but they were. I'm not just making up names. Trust me, I wish I was just making up names, but I'm not. I think Josh McCown, before he was actually good, started for the Raiders at one time. Aaron Brooks. Oh, God, Aaron Brooks. Jesus. I thought, you know, by at that time in 2006, I thought at least in 2014, you know, we'd be way better than what we were then. But unfortunately, it has not changed. The players may have changed, but the result's the same. Getting losses, catching these L's, like they would say. Just horrible. Horrible. But, yeah, back to the trade deadline. The Raiders can, you know, salvage something and trade these guys for at least something decent. It would be a miracle. But I hope none of these, you know, I do hope some of these NFL teams are dumb enough to take a chance and trade for these guys that we have. I would be, like, real happy. Because, honestly, that would be a steal. Unless, you know, Justin Tuck realizes he's Justin Tuck and starts just going beast mode on the team we trade him to. Then I'll be a little just mad. Just like, really, dude? I'd be like, really, Justin Tuck? You're going to go to another team and just decide to act like Justin Tuck again? That's what usually happens. Look at Carson Palmer. That's a great example. He is with us. Didn't do squat. Led us to 8-8. And now he's with Arizona. Now he wants to go to Pro Bowl Carson Palmer. Heisman Trophy winner Carson Palmer. That's a bunch of weak stuff. That's dumb. That makes me angry. That really does. Like, all of a sudden they come to Oakland and now they're in the black hole. They come to the black hole and then they decide to play like they're in a black hole and just disappear. This is a bunch of garbage. It really is. It's a bunch of garbage. If you think about it. Why would they come here and not perform the way they can perform? But anyways, so I'm not saying expect the Raiders to make a deal. That's what I'm not saying. I'm just saying there's rumors out there that the Raiders are thinking about trading these veterans for picks. But don't expect any moves. Because I don't want you to come back and say, well, you know, DJ Smooth said this on Raider Rage.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any promises. Not making any promises. But don't be surprised if the Raiders do make a move. That's all I'm saying. Just look out. Just watch. Just look, you know, just keep an eye on them. See if they make a move. I don't think they're going to make a move, to be honest. I don't think Reggie McKenzie's going to trade these guys he signed, because if he does, he knows that. That just shows that he knows that he failed in the offseason, and the offseason was just a big waste of money, just spending money on just players with big names to put seats, to put people in seats. So I honestly don't expect them to make a move, but just don't be surprised if they do. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't be surprised if they do make a move. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, the next rumor that's out there, I read this a couple weeks ago. Well, it's actually been in the process, you know, the Raiders in Los Angeles for a couple years now. But that's not the surprising thing that caught me off guard about the Raiders moving back to Los Angeles, because they've been talking about it for years. For years. The Raiders haven't won a Super Bowl since they've been in Los Angeles. That's been a long, long time. Before I was even thought of. That was a long time. Long time ago. Back in the 80s. When Matt, you know. Just think about, well, hold, let's think about that. Hold, let me think about this. Let me hold up. The Raiders haven't won a Super Bowl since Magic Johnson was the starting point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now that's crazy. That really is. But, yeah, the Raiders haven't been winners, haven't won a Super Bowl since they've been in Los Angeles. And, you know, Los Angeles has been, you know, asking the NFL for the team. I've been hearing reports, you know, Magic Johnson and, you know, whoever he's partnered with who has billions of dollars, were, you know, they were ready to, you know, put in money and build a farmer's market, the stadium right there next to Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles. I don't know how that's even going to work. There's just like no room, but you know, my parents and my dad and my uncles who do work in Los Angeles say, yeah, oh, well, there's room. Trust me. They'll make room. I trust you. I don't think, I don't know, but yeah, they were saying, you know, they're going to build a stadium in there. There's been plans for that, or a proposed plan. It never got, you know, voted yes on. There's also the NFL said, you know, we're going to send our people out there and look at spots, and we'll build a stadium ourselves. We'll fund it, and we'll just build it ourselves, because they want a team in Los Angeles. A lot of, you know, the NFL wants a team in Los Angeles. The city of Los Angeles wants a team there because it brings money. Los Angeles is like the third biggest city in the United States, and they don't have an NFL team. But Green Bay, who, I don't know, they probably got like 4,000 people in that city, has a team. Or, you know, Buffalo has a team. You know, Jacksonville, Miami, all these cities have teams, but Los Angeles doesn't have a team. And Los Angeles is ready for a team. Los Angeles is ready for a team to embrace, you know. And the Raiders, you know, the Raiders have a lot of fans down in SoCal, down in Los Angeles. That's where most of the fans are. I'm no disrespect to Oakland, because Oakland does have a lot of diehard Raider fans here, but Los Angeles has not as much, but more. They might, you know, and they might be the same or more fans down in Los Angeles. But, so the rumor I heard was that, you know, if the NFL was going to build a stadium, like $1 billion or $2 billion stadium, whatever, how much money they are, that they were going to bring two teams to Los Angeles. Yeah, this was a story. It was two teams. It was going to be the Raiders and the Chargers, move them to Los Angeles so they could play in the same stadium. But the thing is, the NFL doesn't want two teams in the same division to play in the same stadium and to be from the same city. So owner Mark Davis told the NFL that he is willing to move the Raiders to the NFC and move, and then the NFL will move the Seahawks to the AFC West. So the Raiders will be in the NFC West if them and the Chargers do move down to Los Angeles in the stadium. That caught me by surprise. So just imagine that. The Raiders will not be playing the Broncos, Chiefs, and Chargers every two times a year. Instead, they'll play the San Francisco 49ers, Arizona Cardinals, and St. Louis Rams for 2 years in the NFC West. And then the Seattle will move to the AFC West. That's what I heard. That's the story that I saw, or the video that I was watching, was saying that Mark Davis was willing to move the Raiders to Los Angeles, and he'll move them to the NFC, and move them out of the AFC. That will be crazy. That's a shocker right there. Just imagine that. Raiders and Niners play every 2 years, every year. Two times every year. That's... Whew. And honestly, like, the Raiders need a new stadium. Everyone knows that. The city of Oakland knows it. Alameda, they know it. The NFL knows it. The Raiders definitely know it, because they're talking about moving to San Antonio, Los Angeles. Everywhere. You know what I mean? Because O.co, no offense, I've been there plenty of times. It's just a piece of junk. It's horrible. It's always like dripping and stuff. It's all raggedy. Seagulls are flying all over it. There's just bird crap everywhere. It's pretty bad. It needs to be renovated or something. I don't know. And, you know, I know there's this club out there. I forgot the name of it, but there's this club out here of Raider fans up here in the Bay Area that's trying to keep the Raiders in Oakland. You know, they go to the city hall meetings and, you know, they made a petition, this and that, you know, keep the Raiders in Oakland because they're trying to keep the Raiders in Oakland. They don't want to lose them again like they did back in the 80s when Al Davis moved them to Los Angeles. And, you know, Oakland officials are, you know, they're like, do we have the money to build a stadium, this and that? And the Raiders said, you know, we can pitch in money on a stadium. And then I heard, like, a couple months ago that there was this prince of India, that was willing to, you know, drop a lot of money for a new stadium, this and that. So it's a very complicated situation. Very complicated. But, you know, the Raiders' lease is up. Yeah, the Oakland A's, who share the Raiders with the stadium with the Raiders, signed a 10-year extension on the lease for O.co Coliseum. The Raiders didn't. So the Raiders are down to their last year. So they got to figure out where they're going to play and everything. They got to figure out something. And there's just a lot of things going on for the Raiders right now. Not a lot of good things either. Because first, one, they're the worst team in the NFL. Two, they might not even have a stadium. They don't even know where they're going to play next year. Because their lease is up. After this year, they're done. So they got to start, you know, it's just not looking good for Mark Davis and the Raiders right now. It's a lot of uncertainty out there. Lots. So, we'll see. I don't know. It just, honestly, if the Raiders went back to Los Angeles, the city will embrace them. It would be like the lost long son coming back home. It honestly would. Because You know, the Raiders, they want a team. I mean, not the Raiders. Los Angeles wants a team. Need a team, actually. They should have a team. They got two basketball teams, but no football team. You know. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. But, they, you know, it's not good right now looking for Mark Davis. Because, one, he's, like I said, he's the owner of the worst team in the league. And, two, he's got a stadium situation to be made. And, honestly, as a Raider fan, I would rather have him move to Los Angeles than move to San Antonio. I don't want to be a San Antonio Raider fan. It doesn't even click. It doesn't even go together. It doesn't even mesh well. The Los Angeles Raiders, now that meshes well. You know why it meshes well? Because we won a Super Bowl there. That's why. Maybe we go back to the glory days if we go back to Los Angeles. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, so there's rumors out there saying that, you know, Mark Davis is willing to move his team to the NFC if he has to. That means he gets a new stadium in Los Angeles. That was interesting. I was like, wow. He's like, so Mark Davis is pulling out all the stops for a new stadium. He's just really desperate for a stadium. But, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, talk about the matchup against the Cleveland Browns. And that's it. So this is Raider Rage. I'm DJ Smooth, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Do you like
love? Do you like love? Yeah. This is another Bosco break. If you're going to have someone ship you a package of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine via FedEx, make sure the sender has the correct address. Three Houston residents are likely cursing the person who mislabeled just such a package after it arrived at the wrong residence and the owner alerted the police, the Houston Chronicle reports. A tip directed cops to a nearby house where they say they found Michael Taylor, Stephanie Adams, and Leslie Peck holed up with $100,000 worth of drugs and a weapons arsenal, as well as Adams' 5-year-old kid who was reportedly napping while mom did meth in the next room. In addition to the drugs in the package, they also say they found LSD, hashish, pain pills, steroids, morphine, codeine, and even prescription cancer medications. Oh, and also a bunch of shotguns, handguns, and a semi-automatic rifle. The three were arrested on drug and weapons charges and currently have a new address, the Harris County Jail. As for other drug news, San Miguel de Allende is a sleepy artist enclave nestled in the mountains of central Mexico, equally popular with the artists and retired Americans. But the city jolted awake yesterday as federal special forces swept into a seafood restaurant and nabbed one of the nation's most notorious drug lords, Hector Beltran Leyva, who had apparently been hiding in plain sight in nearby Querétaro. The honcho of the eponymous Beltran Leyva cartel had been posing as a dealer of not drugs, but rather art and real estate, says a rep with the Mexican AG's office, and was living a low-key lifestyle, avoiding attracting the attention of neighbors, friends, or the authorities. Beltran Leyva is the fourth of his brothers to fall, notes the AP. Two others are currently cooling their heels behind bars, while another was killed in 2009, when Beltran Leyva took over leadership of the cartel. Obviously, this is not the Beltran Leyva's organization in its strongest moment, says a Mexican security expert, but it continues to be a criminal organization capable of generating localized violence in some states. Beltran Leyva's head carries a $5 million bounty stateside and a $2.2 million bounty in Mexico. As opposed to the capture of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, dubbed the world's most powerful drug lord, Leyva's capture is the latest in a string of coups for Mexican authorities. That's all for your Bosco break. Back to the show.
Thank you, Bosco, for that Bosco break. Welcome back to Raider Rage. I am DJ Smooth, your host. And so, talked about the rumors, and now we're going to get into next week's matchup for the Raiders. They're heading to Cleveland to play the Cleveland Browns. And Cleveland's no joke. They're not the same Cleveland Browns that they once were. Not the same Cleveland Browns that they were, you know, people used to joke about. Cleveland's actually decent. Not going to lie. They're they're decent. You know, they might not have the best quarterback in the league or the well-known quarterback, but he gets the job done. And Brian Hoyer gets the job done. He's thrown for 1,439 yards, 7 touchdowns. So he's doing the job. He's doing what he needs to do. He may be known as a game manager, but his team's 3-3 in the thick of the AFC North race. And they beat in some notable teams. You know, the Saints are not the same, but the Saints are still the Saints. So they beat in the Saints, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh. And, you know, should have beat Pittsburgh twice, actually. But, yeah, so Cleveland, it's a pretty good team. They have the 7th best rushing team in the league. They average 133.5 yards because they got a two-headed beast in the backfield. They got Ben Tate and Isaiah Crowell, who both have ran over 250 yards this year. So it's going to be tough for the Raiders because we all know Raiders can't stop the run. Raiders cannot stop the run. You know why? Because the Raiders are not, they're ranked 29th in rush defense and ranked last in rushing. And the Raiders got to start running the ball more. That's the thing. That's a thing. They got to start running the ball more, especially against this Cleveland Brown team who ranks last in stopping the run. Just run the ball more. They're going to have to because, honestly, the Browns defense did get upgraded this year. You know, they got Dante Whitner from the 49ers. He's a hard-hitting safety that you don't want to throw on. Or you want to, you know, throw to your receivers in the middle of the field, and he just whacks them. And also you got Joe Hayden. He's an all-pro cornerback. All-pro. And honestly, the Raiders have one talented receiver in James Jones, but the other ones, I don't think they have the talent to hang with Joe Hayden because I think Joe Hayden will shut him down. So, honestly, if I was Tony Sperano, my game plan would just, you know, be run first. Get McFadden and Jones-Drew going. Get them some more touches. Yeah, I may, you know, talk smack about Jones-Drew every week and give him a hard time, but, you know, he does need more than, you know, 2 touches or 3 touches per game. You got to give him 10, 15 at least and give McFadden 10 or 15. Let's, you know, run the ball. The Raiders rank last in rushing for a reason. It's because they rank last in rush attempts. Start running the ball. You know, we got to take the pressure off Derek Carr. I know Derek Carr has been, you know, handling his own. He's having a pretty good year for a rookie. But he needs help. He can't do everything. You can't expect him to throw 30 times a game and, you know, expect victories. We got to run the ball. Get that time possession, you know, get that clock ticking. Let's keep the ball for a little bit, you know, convert on third downs. Let's do something right, at least. Let's start doing things right, Raiders. Let's start doing things right. It's time now. You know, hand the ball. You got to hand the ball off to McFadden. And they, you know, also last yesterday, I was looking at watching the game, and they've been trying to throw in these dumb running back screens, but they're just not executing it right. And it makes me mad because I'm just like, if they give McFadden the ball on the outside, he's going to take it for a big game if the Raiders don't, you know, hold or block in the back like they do all the time. But, you know, we got to run the ball. They got to run the ball more. Got to run the ball more. When the Raiders were actually decent a couple years ago, they ranked first, or they ranked in the top 5 of rushing. You know, ranking 25th in passing and 32nd in rushing on offense is not going to win you any games. And obviously, we can see that because we have these red L's just next to each game that they have on our schedule. Just L, 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 L. So, Got to start. Honestly, they got to start running the ball more. And on defense, same story every week. Stop the run. Get off on third down. And put pressure in Brian Hoyer. See what he's made. Let's see what he's made of. See what he does under pressure. Let's see. I want to see, you know, what he does. Yeah, he may be, they may rank 18th in passing, but I want to see what they're made of. See, I want to see what Brian Hoyer is made of. Get in his face. They did that yesterday. I got to give the defense credit. They did do that yesterday, Carson Palmer. They got to do it more. Jason Tarver, the defensive coordinator, you know, start getting creative. Start sending some weird blitz. Just start, you know. Send the safeties. Send the corners. And also, you know, the Raiders' defense has been, you know, depleted because of injuries. You know, they lost starting middle linebacker Nick Roach for the whole year because of a concussion he suffered during the preseason. Usama Young, who replaced Tyvon Branch, got hurt. So we got two of our top safeties are hurt. So now we got... we got, like, rookies back there and T.J. Carey and Keith Dowling. But, yeah, Raiders, they got to run the ball. That's the game, the offensive game plan, the emphasis of the game plan next week should just run the ball because it's going to be cold in Cleveland. The ball is going to be hard as a rock. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to flow. It's not going to, you know, be in the spiral in the air as smoothly as it does in this, you know, California weather. They're going to the Midwest, where at this time it starts getting cold, and the ball's going to be heavy. Brown's defense is, even though they're not the best defense or one of the best defense in the league, they're, you know, they're kind of, they like to hit hard. So, honestly, that would, you know, you got to take the, you can't let Derek Carr try to do everything. Take the pressure off him. You know, allow Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew do what they have, you know, do what they know how to do. And the offensive lines, honestly, like, they got to start, you know, making some holes for these guys. Give them some room to run. Do something. Like, they do protect the quarterback. I got to give them that. They do protect the quarterback, but they don't make no holes for the running backs to allow them to do anything. Every time I see Maurice Jones-Drew and they get to him, he gets like 2 yards and that's it. That's about it.
They just crush him.
They just, you know, smother him. So, Raiders got to run the ball more because last, you know, we used to, all, you know, like these last couple of years, we used to, you know, we sucked. But at least we were pretty good or decent at running the football. Clearly, that's not the case this year. I don't remember the last time when the Raiders ranked last in rushing, to be honest. I don't remember it. So, I think, expect the Raiders to run the ball a lot more. Especially against this 32nd ranked team in rushing, this defense of the Cleveland Browns. Ranked last in stopping the run. That's a shocker. I thought that was us, to be honest. I really did. I really thought that was us. But no, we ranked 29th. Not any better, but we ranked 29th. But yeah, 69 yards rushing a game? That's unacceptable. As an NFL team, that's unacceptable. That's horrible. Yeah. You know, let McFadden go, you know. Let him toss it to the outside. Let him run. I don't like when they always run up the middle either. It's just like, that's not McFadden's style. Honestly, maybe we need to bring back Hugh Jackson because Hugh Jackson knew how to use McFadden. That's when McFadden had his best years as a pro. It's when Hugh Jackson was offensive coordinator and head coach. But yeah. So next week, Raiders travel to Cleveland. Expected to be I don't want to say close, but expect it to be decent. It's not going to be a blowout. Expect the Raiders to run the ball more. You know, hopefully they get pressure on the quarterback and get off on third down on defense. They need to get – that's all I want, is the Raider to have a better third down conversion than the opponent. If that happens, I'll be happy. I really would. They need to get off on third down because poor defense – the defense does it to themselves. That's why they're on the field so long. One, because I know the Raiders go three and out a lot, most in the NFL. They have the Raiders have the most three and outs on the team. I mean, in the whole NFL. But also, the defense doesn't help themselves. They don't stop the opponent on third down. So, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah. So Raiders go to Cleveland next Sunday. They're in Cleveland, a 125 game on CBS. Hopefully, Raider fans, we get our first victory this season. If they do, next Monday, I'll bring some champagne in here. We'll start popping bottles. But anyways, this is DJ Smooth. Thank you for listening. Be sure to make sure to catch Raider Rage next Monday, same time, 1 to 2. And you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Have a great day, everybody. Here of our own device, and in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't.